Outsources, a weekly KGNU program with content created by and for queer communities of Colorado and beyond. I'm your host, Kelly Drumright, and today I'm joined by Marty Moore and Neil Fishman to discuss the Colorado School Board's recommendations for the state's social studies curricula. Hello, and thank you for coming on Outsources.
Kelly, thanks so much for having me. This is Marty Moore. She and her are my pronouns, and I'm the executive director of Out Boulder County, and we so appreciate what Outsources does for our community. Thanks for having us.
And my name is Neil Fishman. He and him are my pronouns. And I'm a longtime Boulder resident. I've been here for 50 years almost, and a scientist by training and just a community member and a community activist at times.
Thank you so much for being here to discuss this incredibly crucial, timely topic. So can you two give some listeners some context about this issue? I know it has kind of flown under the radar a little bit. Yeah, can you just say a little bit about what's going on? It's a whole kerfuffle right now. Can you just give us a little bit of background about what's going on and the process?
Well, sure, I can take the lead on that. So in 2019, the state legislature passed HB 19-1192. That was the legislative number. And it turns out that this particular piece of legislation had been tried to be passed previously and failed up until 2019. So what it did is it instructed the State Board of Education to review and update the social studies curriculum K-12 and to start to include underrepresented communities and the contributions of those people in the curriculum. Well, it took a little while for it all to start, but in 2021, the process started. Part of the legislation required that a commission would be formed that would be the reviewing body and making recommendations to the State Board of Education. And that reviewing body, the membership of that contained many of the underrepresented groups that were the focus of this piece of legislation. So it was being developed by and performed by people from underrepresented communities. So that group came forward with a host of recommendations to the existing social studies curriculum that would better suit the need for the representation of underrepresented communities in the curriculum. In turn, then, the Board of Education had a review committee that would review those recommendations. And that review committee was composed of educators and a couple of parents and people who had volunteered to be on this committee. And it's not just for this particular process. That committee is present for other kinds of things like this as well. And so they reviewed the recommendations. In early this year, that was an ongoing process. And then they made their revisions known to the State Board of Education and to the public after that. And it was that review committee that effectively eviscerated much of the mention of underrepresented communities from the earlier commission's list of recommendations. And so the topic at hand is how to go forward with the revisions and whether or not the State Board of Education would vote in the revised version of the recommendations or whether they would want to do something else. And so that brings us up to the present, where the State Board of Education will be meeting. They are actually meeting later today, October 12th, in their monthly meeting, and they will also meet tomorrow. And then again in November 10th and 11th. At the end of all this, they will be voting on what to do with the revisions and or the recommendations as it applies to the social studies curriculum. It's a very long and convoluted process, so you know it requires some explanation, but that hopefully helps to understand how we got to where we are today and what might be happening into the future.
Yes, I think that's very helpful. Marty, can I ask you how, in your capacity, how long have you been following the issue and how have you been involved?
It got brought to my attention in February of this year. I think it was St. Vrain Valley Safe School Coalition had brought it to my attention. And when it got brought to my attention in February, I think what had already happened is that there's a concerted effort to remove LGBT people from any protections in this country. I have every belief that there's a national movement that is focused on Colorado because we're such a great state and we're a purple state. So first in February, when it was brought to my attention, they were talking about removing LGBTQ, LGBT, I think is the language in the bill, mentions anywhere in it. So the first attack was on the community that Neil and I serve and are members of. And that fear, I think, this becomes a political decision. These are not decisions about what serves students well. We are not having that conversation. That conversation has been removed, which is so unfortunate. And we're not talking about standards. We're not talking about learning. You know, I grew up 100 miles from the Sand Creek Massacre. Do you think we ever talked about it? I didn't know about it until, like, I got to college, right? And it wasn't necessarily as curriculum. It's because you're with a variety of people getting a variety of information. This legislation that we're talking about that finally passed in 2019 is decades of work by Nita Gonzalez, Corky Gonzalez's daughter, and Dr. Luis Torres, Colorado Latino Education Group, has been working on this for decades. And they added LGBT as the legislation was moving along, right? So all their work gets put with our community's work. And so then they come, this national movement and local and people in the state of Colorado start emailing over and over again to the state board. Well, apparently that scared them. And I would say that. And so then it's all of a sudden like, well, we better put this off. We better put this off. And so it's gotten put off. And as Neil said, they're going to vote on it in November. So LGBT people and people of color always become like a political item, an item up for trade, a group of people who are just demanding too much. When, you know, I'll speak for the community I serve, which is, you know, they make us a political organization. And we have people say, well, we can't support you. You're a political organization. It's like, no, we're not a political organization.
We just serve people who exist.
We serve people who exist, and we want them included in policy decisions. And so here we are in a nation where trans kids and their family are moving to Colorado because in the state of Florida or the state of Texas, it's not safe. And then they're coming here because Colorado is known as a great place to raise your kids. And then we're facing this. I mean, is there nowhere safe? And you talk about bullying numbers. These conversations impact youth. And so every one of these conversations needs to talk about the validity of identities and the importance of teaching that are inclusive of those identities. And then they went after the preschool. I mean, this is, so one of the things that we know is that as little kids growing up, like at 3 and 4, we start othering people, just kind of who we are. And so if we don't start this education early, we end up with the United States of America as it exists right now, which is a country that others anybody who's not white. And do we really want to change that? I think we do. And so the importance of that early preschool work and the inclusion begins to change the world that we live in.
The recommendations took us closer to the 2000s. The revisions take us back to the 1950s. So we're saying the same thing, but I just thought I'd put ages or dates on that because that really is the end result of what's happening here. Is it's rather than going looking forward, being forward looking, or at least current, we are going back to the outdated curriculum, which effectively then erases not just the people, but the legislation. This is actually the revisions that are being proposed actually are completely counter to the original intent and spirit of the legislation that set this all in motion.
You know, and Kelly, I talked to one of the legislators who was instrumental in getting this passed, and I'm like, how did we end up in this mess? Why can they just disregard your legislation? And their comment was, we just thought they'd do the right thing. So we didn't put anything in there like, if you don't do this, you'll lose your job, or if you don't do this, this is what happens. And so they were working, you know, they thought with people who were going to do their job because the law tells them to, and they're not.
You know, just a reminder that the extent of our participation in our society can't just be voting for people and then expecting that laws get passed and then stuff happens that makes things better. You know, it's a constant agitation, a constant connection and relationship building process.
This one really felt like the rug was pulled out from under us, because the legislation seemed to be a real positive, forward-looking kind of a piece, at least current, not necessarily forward, but at least bringing us up to the 2000s, 2020 maybe. This attempt at the revisions sends a message that where we were wanting to go is not an okay place to go.
Or also like where we are and what our reality is not an okay place. Like people who exist in certain bodies, you know, at certain intersections of identity, you know, they're a deviation from the norm. And this norm is cisgender. It's white. It's, you know, of a certain class. It's settler, all these things. Right. And about how, you know, reframing what neutral is, like, that's not neutral. That's just one positionality.
One of our youth said that they're queer and Chinese. And they're, I think, a sophomore, maybe a junior in one of our local districts. And they're like, you know what? We don't learn any Chinese history. Like, I didn't even know the Chinese built the railroads. I don't know any history of Chinatowns throughout the country. And as a queer person, I'm not seen either. These have real impacts on people's beings by not teaching a rich, full history. Now, I'll tell you, I am not a doctor of education. I do not write curriculum. I do not like create the standards around that. I am not speaking from that place. If conversations of that matter and how you measure all that and, you know, grade level, that's not me. That's Dr. Bethy Leonardi or Dr. Sarah Staley of A Queer Endeavor, who really understand education and teaching. You know, the vantage point that I'm talking about today is what they do to us politically and how it harms our youth.
So one of the main critiques, just nationally, is that LGBTQ content is not, quote unquote, age appropriate for fourth grade and below. You know, I kind of at once hate to use this framing, you know, because I'm not trying to give necessarily validity to that opinion, because I do not share it. Marty, you were speaking to this a little bit earlier, but how would you respond to this idea that content is not age appropriate for fourth grade and below?
It's ludicrous. Okay. As a lesbian who, with a partner, raised kids, and who my kid always had two moms, and you go to kindergarten and you don't know exactly what the kid, like, we're normal, right? We're a happy, loving family. We show up at kindergarten. We're the only people, you know, only lesbians there. And my kid's got the moms. By first grade, she already felt like she didn't fit. Right. And so we had to switch schools, find another school where somebody had already blazed a trail. And we weren't talking about sex. Now, this is where the conflation happens. If you mention lesbian, all of a sudden we're having a conversation about sex. Well, actually, no, we're not.
Then by that logic, if you talk about your quote unquote regular nuclear family with a, you know, cisgender man, cisgender woman and 2.2 kids or whatever, then you're also talking about sex.
You would think, but that's not true, right?
You know, that really is at the heart of it. There is a concern on the part of some people that any mention of anything going down this path is centered on sex education. And this is exactly not what we were talking about. But I want to speak to this particular topic directly as it pertains to the resolution that the Boulder Valley School District Board voted on last night, because they have, an excellent clause in that resolution that speaks exactly to this issue. And it reads as follows. Whereas the BVSD board recognizes that including historically marginalized groups in standards and curriculum does not make the instruction or content a controversial subject or part of comprehensive human sexuality education under state law, subject to notice and waiver requirements. Before they voted on this last night at the board meeting, they brought this particular matter up, and they made it clear that what we are talking about, and if you look at the original recommendations coming forward to the State Board of Education on the social studies curriculum, It was not about sex ed. It was never about sex ed. It's about inclusion. It's about recognizing and celebrating diversity. And there's no, it has no bearing on sex ed. And they know that if the conversation is going to be about sex ed, that the parents need to be notified and that there's an opt-out option for those parents. This is not that, period, end of discussion. It just is about inclusion, the role of marginalized groups in the history of Colorado. Nothing about that speaks to sex ed.
Here you go again. Still loud, still right, still not listening. How it's always been. Doesn't make it make any sense. You were born on the high road, but somehow I always go higher. Oh, I hit all the high notes, but still don't got a seat in the choir. I've paddled upstream where the river ran. I've turned sticks and stones to an olive branch. I made a full house from a bad hand. Yet here I am, still gotta be bigger than the bigger man. Was it up to me? Maybe it's your turn to think before you speak. Your streets are golden, mine are paved with your leftovers. The world's spinning backwards, same things happen over and over and over. I paddled upstream where the river ran. Sticks and stones to an olive branch. I've made a full house from a bad hand. Yet here I am, still gotta be bigger than the bigger man. Ooh. It's not your problem, you think it's none of your business. You think you're tired? Try it longer than 3 minutes. I've paddled upstream where the river ran. I've turned sticks and stones to an olive branch. I've made a full house from a bad hand. Yet here I am, still gotta be bigger than the bigger man.
You're listening to Outsources on KGNU. I'm Kelly Drumright, and I'm speaking with Marty Moore and Neil Fishman about the Colorado State Board of Education and the current revision process for the Colorado State Social Studies curriculum for kindergarten through 12th grade. Just because I feel like people should know who's on the school board. First Congressional District, Denver, Lisa Escarcega. Second Congressional District, Boulder, Angelica Schroeder. Third Congressional District, Carbondale, Joyce Rankin. Fourth Congressional District, Parker, Deborah Scheffel. Fifth Congressional District, Colorado, Springs, Steve Durham. Sixth Congressional District, Centennial, Rebecca McClellan. And Seventh Congressional District, Lakewood, Carla Esser.
And to complete that, Second Congressional District, Angelica Schroeder is the current chair. And I think it was Steve Durham, whatever congressional district he was from. He's the current vice chair.
Great. Thank you. So anyway, something is being proposed or is going to be proposed at tonight's meeting by Deborah Scheffel.
That's correct. So I'm not sure when it got added to the agenda. I think it was late, and I don't know what their rules are around that. Luckily, Jax Gonzalez, who works for Boulder County Public Health, brought to our attention last night around 5 o'clock, maybe a little later, that they had added to the agenda to consider adding the birthright curriculum. I don't even know what this is what they're suggesting we teach our youth in social studies. As I was perusing last night, I think there's a pretty, this ought to give you a sense of what's in it, should you not want to read what it is. The Family Research Council, Ralph Reed and his group are big proponents of this. So that'll give you a little touch of what they're proposing at today's meeting.
And I would add to that, that the American Birthright and Model Standards that Marty mentioned is actually being advanced by an organization called Civics Alliance, a national association of scholars. And so from the perspective of the American Birthright Amendment, that's a national level kind of an organization. And it is coming in to Colorado through this particular avenue. It's being proposed by Deborah Scheffel as an amendment to the existing recommendations, the curriculum. It's what I consider to be a classic example of doing exactly opposite of the intent and spirit of House Bill 1911-92. It's going to be out there. It's supposed to be introduced today, and we won't know until after the end of the meeting today what its fate is and or whether it will be going forward to a different meeting or what. But yeah, it came out of right field.
I like your choice of right field. Yeah, because it wasn't left field. Love a pun. I know that there's definitely strategy for those that would prefer to erase queer people, even though we're here and you know, out lavender menacing, as they would think that we're doing. But we're not doing that. We're just living our lives. Do you all have any just inklings about long-term what we might do as like a broad coalition to try and make education a bit more inclusive for everyone?
I think, you know, part of it is electing the right people to the state board so you don't have something like this happen in the future. I think coalition is important. And, you know, there are people like Great Ed Colorado who are in this space every day, or CEI, or like there's a number of groups that live in that space. And, you know, we're not coming in to fill up this space. Like there are people already there. And so how do you work in that coalition? This is a prime example. Out Boulder County has been in a working coalition with like CLARO, the Asian Pacific Development Organization, Harry Budasarta, you know, educators, people who pass the legislation, like a broad base of groups. You know, all relationships are, good relationships are based on trust. And that this has given us the opportunity to know one another and work in the space together, which should give us strength going into whatever the next battle looks like or the next hill we want to climb. And so that, I think, is one of the positive things that's come out of this. You know, there are a number of LGBT people, organizations in the space, Safe School Coalition of St. Vrain Valley, Inside Out Services, that's down in Colorado Springs, El Paso County, One Colorado, out Boulder County, a Queer Endeavor. There are a number of us there. And, you know, when we think about educational space, out Boulder always follows a Queer Endeavor's lead. They're educators, they're PhDs in the area. I mean, these are doctors who understand what this is. And, you know, following like Dr. Luis Torres, you know, another PhD in the area of education, like following those people's leads and strengthening around them is key to our ongoing success. But I think elections matter. And I think that the political narrative right now, it's a hateful country we're living in. The right is out of control and threatening every democratic system we have with like the introduction of this American Birthright curriculum. They're persistent. These are the people who took Roe v. Wade down. They were patient. They are organized and they're single-minded in what they want. And, you know, here we are, all of us out doing our own thing, doing this, you know, Occupy Wall Street. I was in New York City when that was happening. I'm like, here we go. We finally got this. And then there was no leader. And then there was, let's worry about the environment. Let's worry about the gays. Like we all like do our different piece, but how do we come together for our youth? And I think this is a prime example of why coalitions are so important.
And I would just add to that, it's always a danger to rest on your laurels. If something happens that's good and you move forward, that's great. But assuming that that will persist into the future without resistance is an incorrect assumption. And so we need some stick-to-itiveness to be able to keep this moving forward.
I just want to make sure to ask at the end, just get into the materiality, the nitty-gritty. Y'all have been on the ground, going to meetings, making calls to important people. So what action can people take in both the short term and the long term if this is an important issue to them?
For short term, write the State Board of Education and tell them how you feel about what is going on. I would refer people to Out Boulder County's newsletter, where there's some nice examples of letters that you can, there's a template for a letter that you can write and or do it on your own. But to write to the State Board of Education, and the email address is all lowercase state, S-T-A-T-E, dot board, B-O-A-R-D, at C-D-E dot state dot C-O dot U-S. And make your voice heard. That's your chance to make your voice heard. Another thing, relatively short term, is go to the November meeting of the State Board of Education. It will be held in Thornton at 1500 East 128th Avenue. And that starts at 9:30 in the morning, I believe, on November 10th and 11th. Talk it up with your neighbors and friends. And lastly, but most importantly, vote. And the reason I say that is because there's going to be a change in the composition of the State Board of Education starting next year. And the reason for that change is that Colorado gained one congressional district in the aftermath of the census. So that means that the State Board is composed of a representative from each congressional district. So by definition, there will be a new board member from the new congressional districts, Congressional District 8, who will be sitting on the board going forward. The other piece is because there is an even number of congressional districts by virtue of that 8th district being added into Colorado, there will be an at-large position that is also on the ballot this year. And that's a statewide representative, meaning that's an at-large position.
To make it so it's not a 4-4 deadlock or something.
That is exactly right. They need to be able to break a tie. So there's actually two new seats that are being added to the State Board of Education starting next year. For your listeners who are outside of CD2 and in CD8, you will have an opportunity to vote on the new CD8 candidate. And everybody in the state of Colorado gets the chance to vote on the at-large person, their position. And so vote. If you don't like what's happening right now, or think that there's a concern going forward, your opportunity to express your voice is directly related to whether or not you fill out your ballot.
Yeah, just like he said.
Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for coming on and educating listeners about this crucial topic.
Thank you.
See you again. Thank you, Kelly.
Hey there. Future Kelly popping in thanks to the magic of post-production. The American Birthright curriculum that was mentioned in the interview was not passed by one vote on the October 12th and 13th meeting. You can go to kgnu.org/outsources to find the backlog of all of the outsources shows over the years and to find links and credits for the current show.